Luke chapter 8, beginning at verse 22. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples. And he said unto them, Let us go over into the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Let's pray together, Father. Let's pray together, please, to the Father. Father, we do thank you for the word of God that you've given us. As a day we taught in Sunday school about this wonderful book. God, please now use our pastor this morning to come and preach from the word of God. Help us to be better Christians for what we hear this morning. God, if there's one in this room that does not know Christ as their personal Savior, that today they would trust him before they leave. God, just do a great work in our midst and in the around these buildings today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, I remind you again, now that the preaching has started, that you sit still and listen very carefully. If you have something that's electronic that makes noise and it goes off during the service and we hear it, it will explode and you will lose your life. So please turn it to vibrate or something like that. That would help us a lot this morning. We're going to need to answer a question Jesus asked the disciples. Luke chapter 8, you need to keep your Bibles open, please. Luke chapter 8 and verse 25, he asked them a question. He said, Where is your faith? This next year, we're going to answer that question. Not so much with our lips as with our life. Where is your faith? There are a lot of people who think, well, there are some people who have faith and there are some people who do not. Everyone believes in something, even atheists. Atheists believe there is no God, which is arrogant, by the way. It's arrogant. Psalm 14 is a little more kind. It says, The fool has said in his heart, There is no God. But you'd have to know everything to know there is no God, and you don't know everything, or an atheist doesn't know everything, so they cannot know there is no God. That's arrogant. But the fact that they believe that there is no God and there's no proof one way or the other proves even atheists have faith. Everybody has faith. Everybody has faith in something or somebody. Everyone does. Jesus didn't ask them, upon whom is your faith? He said, where is it? They had misplaced their faith. In one of those accounts in the Word of God where Jesus and the disciples are going through a storm together. The Lord has to step in and the Lord has to help them out and the Lord has to calm the storm. When he does, he turns to these guys and he says, Where is your faith? What happened here? They had misplaced faith. A lot of people have misplaced their faith. Misplaced it. Lost it? I just put it in the wrong place. And that's what he's asking them there. Now listen to me this morning. You and I this year, we're going to answer that question to the Lord ourselves. By how we live our lives, where is your faith? Because if you'll notice carefully as we look at this passage of Scripture, this thing about faith isn't about what you believe. It's about what you do based on what you believe. When he tells them here that he says, let's go to the other side. Well, let me show you. Look in Luke chapter 8. Look at verse number 22. Now, it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with the disciples and he said to them, Let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they believed him. Is that what it says? Or does it say they launched forth? See, that's faith. Jesus told them to do something and they did it. Then verse 25, and he said unto them, Where is your faith? And they being afraid and wondered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? For he commanded even the winds and waters and they obey him. When Jesus stepped out and said, Peace, be still. And the waves laid down like little lambs and the wind blew soft and easy. and the water stopped raging. The Bible says in verse number 24, and they ceased. That's not just the storm. The disciples ceased and were calm. Where is your faith this morning? Well, I just have a hard time believing in things. Pastor Johnson, you believe in something. Come on, folks. We all believe in something. And by the way, we all put our faith in something too. Where is your faith this morning? Let's settle the question carefully and look at these people who had misplaced their faith. You know, it's not that we have no faith, it's just that we put it in the wrong place. Illustration. Years ago, we went up to a place called Cover Bridge up here at Hayfork, near Hayfork, to go rappelling. That's where you're stupid enough to put on a nylon strap with a clip on it, throw a rope around your waist and other parts, flip it through that clip, lean back and rappel off the side of a cliff. Say, why is it stupid? Are you kidding me? That's insane. That's absolutely insane. And we did this as a father-son function. We were hoping some of our boys would jump off and not make it. But anyway, everybody survived the thing and it went fine. We went up there and I took one of the new guys in our church had just gotten saved there in our church. I took him with us up on this trip. And he and I were sitting up on the top of this cliff. How high is that thing there, Brother Robbie? 75, it seemed like 1,000 feet to me. I have a fear of heights. I don't even like the height of this platform. I mean, but I had to go to prove I wasn't a coward. I was dying the death of a coward, but I was going to go no matter what it took. And I'm sitting up there on the top of this cliff, and Brother Moravia was the guy who set it up, and we were practicing on a real short drop-off to get the hang of the fact that you have to lean back against the rope like this and get it to do its effect so it'll hold you up, and then you go down the side of the mountain. So he had us on a real short drop-off on the top of this cliff. I'm sitting there with this new man. I was a Christian, just got saved. And we're talking about things. He's asking me questions about things and things. He said, Pastor, I just don't get this trust in the Lord thing. I don't get this very well. I'm working on how do you do that? Brother Evans was up on the top of that short little cliff practicing his rappelling. And I thought, what a great analogy here. So we're sitting here, and Brother Evans is about 8-10 foot above us up here, and he leans back on that rope. I said, well, Brother Ed, it's like this. See what Brother Evans is doing up there? See, he's got to lean back and trust that that rope would hold. And I almost got through this perfect analogy, and all of a sudden, Brother Evans' feet went up in the air, and he started coming down on his head. And we both leaped over there and caught him, which in those days, Brother Evans used to be really, really heavy. And in those days, it took two people to catch him. Not anymore now that he's trim and everything's good. And we're standing there holding Brother Evans. I looked at Brother Ed and I go, well, there goes that analogy. He got back down. Brother Evans, being the man that he is, proving he is not going to be beat by this rope and this little 8-foot drop, crawls right back up there. And then we're sitting there talking. And I said, well, if it works right, you lean back on the rope and it holds you up. And that's kind of the way you have to trust the Lord in your life. And about that time, Brother Evans is all hooked up again, and he's leaning back to on that rope, and up go his feet again, and down he comes. And this time we just ran over and we shoved him on his way down, right into a bush that was right there up on the top of this cliff. Didn't have any leaves on. I think it was dead. I'm not sure. I know it's dead now. But we pushed him into that bush. And as I looked over to get his hand to pick him out, on the other side of that bush was about a 150-foot drop. If we'd have shoved him through that bush, our lives would be better. But he would have been, no, that's not true. He would have, I mean, it'd been pretty serious. Just blew the analogy out. I mean, tore it up. After I said, forget about that one. Let's talk about something else. And we think, you know, Pastor Johnson, this thing about faith, it's so hard to get a grasp on how it works. And you already have faith in something. But where is your faith this morning? Is it in the right place, on the right person, for the right reason? See, that's what he's asking him here. He's asking these disciples, where is your faith? Please understand this. I'll repeat this at the end of the message this morning. It's not like they hadn't seen Jesus do a miracle up to this point. This is Luke chapter 8. They have already seen him raise people from the dead and feed multitudes with loaves and fishes. It's not like they hadn't seen a miracle and they hadn't seen Jesus do anything before. That wasn't the point. They had seen great things that the Lord had done. But between these great events and this moment on the storm, their faith was misplaced. How do you get misplaced faith? Well, first of all, you'll notice with these men, as it is with us also, it started out right. See there in verse 22 again? Look. It says, "Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with the disciples. He said unto them, let us go over unto the other side of the lake." He said, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. He did not say, let us go out into the storm where you're going to doubt, fear, worry, cry out, and think you're going to die. He said, we're going to start here, fellas. We're going to go to the other side of this lake. Now let's go. And the Bible says in verse 22, and they launched forth. They started out right. That's what faith is. Faith is responding to what the Word of God says. They had the right faith. They trusted that when Jesus said, we're going to the other side of this lake, they said, yes, sir. And they got in the boat and just started going. So when we misplace faith, we need to understand something. There was a time when it was correct. We had it right. Example, if you're saved this morning and you know Christ is your personal Savior, you put your faith in the right person. You trusted Jesus Christ for your salvation. You trusted that He would give you salvation. You repented of sin. Didn't mean you stopped sinning. You realized sin was wrong and you said, that's wrong. And you repented of sin, or in some cases you repented of the sin of religion. Trusting some religion that had taught you have to work your way to heaven by some system of works, whether it's communion or confirmation or baptism or church membership or whatever the case may be. You realize that was wrong and you placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ for your salvation. And when you did, God saved you because He said He would. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. When you trusted Christ to save you, my friend, He did. And when He did, He changed your life. For if any man be in Christ, any man be in Christ, any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Hey, you had the right place of faith to start with. So did these men. Jesus told them to do something. They did it. Jesus said, we're going to the other side of the lake. And they said, yes, sir. And they launched forth and took off doing exactly what He told them to do. Hey, by the way, and after your salvation, you know what you found? You found as you responded to what the Bible said, God blessed that. And you found, you put your faith in the Word of God, the Son of God, and God honored that. It's not like the faucet was turned off in heaven because God can't help us anymore. It's not like God looked down and said, oh my goodness, I got too many people trusting me. No, He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, and the Lord can take care of us, and the Lord can provide, and He's not bankrupt. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And I ain't preaching prosperity gospel either, friend. I'm not talking about this blab it and grab it junk that's going around through these television ministries whereby they guarantee you prosperity. The only one that's getting rich is those jerks. I said jerks who live off the multiplied million of the foolish of this country, giving their money to ministries and works, and there's no accountability for where it goes except big houses and dark air-conditioned dog houses and all this other garbage that's happening today. Ridiculous. Wait a minute, Pastor Johnson, you passed the plate here this morning. That's right, and we give it a dime by dime, cent by cent account of everything that's done with the money God people give to this church here. We are accountable for what we do to God and to you. But you see, after you got saved, you put your faith and trust in God. You trusted Him, and God blessed that. Nobody grows in the Christian life without the proper placement of their faith. The faith that got you in will keep you going. How did these men wind up with a misplaced faith? They started out right. So did you, by the way. Maybe you're here this morning and that first step of faith, you've never taken that. That step of faith of trusting Christ for your salvation. Listen. Never substitute obedience to the Bible as a testimony of your salvation. Well, I do what the Bible says, I must be saved. No. You're saved because you trusted Christ and you remember what you did. The evidence of salvation, of obedience, is simply a reinforcement of the simple step of faith you took to trust Christ. Did you take that step? That first and most important step where you trusted Jesus Christ alone for your salvation? Turning from religion and works and turning from philosophies and turning from your own way, did you take the step of simply trusting Christ for your salvation? If you've taken that step, my friend, listen, now look at me. Has not God been faithful to bless his word when by faith you obeyed what it said? This is Luke 8. If we were in Luke chapter 1, I could understand why they would have doubts about what the Lord could do. You read those first eight chapters of Luke when you go home today. I forget how many miracles it is they have already seen. And the Bible tells us, if everything that Jesus did was recorded, the world itself could not contain all the volumes. There was more they saw that wasn't written in the Bible. They saw literally, look, he was in the city of Nain, walking into the city, and a widow is carrying out her young son on a funeral carriage. And Jesus walks up and touches the carriage, and the young man sits up alive. That's Luke chapter 7. They saw him raise a young man on his way to the cemetery. It's not like they hadn't seen God work, and it's not like we haven't seen God work. It's not like we haven't seen God answer prayer, and we haven't seen God help us. But if our faith has started right, then how does it get misplaced? Well, it has to start right. Number two, we'll look at it. Look in Luke chapter 8 and verse number 23 now. They actually know where they've misplaced it. Verse 23 says, but as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake. Huh. Circumstances. And they were filled with water. The water that's filling up the ship. Conditions. And the Bible says they were in jeopardy. That's not a game show. They were in jeopardy. That means they were considering the fact this thing's sinking and we're going down. They were considering, look here, conditions, circumstances, conditions, and considerations, which simply means we worry ourselves right out of faith. You know why people have misplaced faith? They let the conditions of life change things. A storm, the Bible says, came down on them. They're rowing along. I bet it was a beautiful day, if it was sunlight or morning or evening or whatever. I bet it was a beautiful day and the Sea of Galilee was glassy and calm. And as it still happens to this day, today storms come up and just tear across that part of that lake. And all of a sudden, they're no longer in the calm of life. They're in the middle of a serious situation here. A huge storm comes up, and these men consider the fact that they're in serious trouble. Look at me. You can misplace your faith if you let the circumstances of life affect you. See, here it is. Look at me. Here's what we say. Well, I've always trusted the Lord, but now... Oh, so now the circumstances make faith different than before. When your circumstances control your faith, you're in serious trouble. Nothing's happened in heaven. God didn't look down and say, oh man, how'd they get over there? I love the picture. Jesus is inside the ship, sound asleep. They're upstairs bailing water and rowing as fast as they can and crying out because their circumstances are all against them, and that faith they have that helped them start out so well, that faith they have that got them on the direction they're supposed to be, that faith they have that began so well in their life is now changed because the circumstances of their life have changed things. Oh, listen now. Listen. Listen for the explosion. Bang! Oh, sorry. One time I'd like to see that happen. Just one time. But now listen carefully. Not only did the circumstances cause them to misplace their faith, now their conditions do. The Bible says the ship is filled with water. If you read it in Matthew's gospel and Mark's gospel, same story, a record of the same event is in those gospels. You know what you see happen? It says, and when the ship was now full. I love that passage because it always tells us this thing about, you know, they're knee deep, bailing water, the storm's raging, and they're saying, you think we should do something about this? I don't know. What do you think? And then now they're hip deep and they're still bailing water. They go, hey, it's getting pretty serious. What do you think now? I don't know. What do you think? And they're discussing it and they're talking about it and they're trying to email Oprah to get a decision on it and what they're supposed to do. And they're trying to work this thing out. And they go, I don't know. And when the ship was now full, then they go, okay, now we're in trouble. Hey, friend, you were in trouble when it was ankle deep. How come you have to wait for the conditions to get way beyond your control before we go to God? See, you misplaced faith. We keep thinking, well, there'll be a hole in the ship. That's bad. This is bad. The only way you're going to get the water out of that ship is you're going to have to stop this storm, and you can't do that. We misplace our faith because we let the conditions of our life, we put our faith in other things. Well, I just believe. This is an election year. Oh, no. This is an election year. We got candidates running around telling everybody the old chicken in the pot thing again, all over again. We're going to give you health care. We're going to give you education. We're going to give you jobs. We're going to give you everything you want. There's people out there going, oh, yeah, I like that guy or girl. I like that. That there give me hope. Oh, people. Oh, people. Oh, people. Could I slap you in Jesus' name? Oh, people. Honestly, they're going to fix everything, aren't they? That's why they fixed it up till now. That's why we're in the good condition we are, because they fixed it all. Okay, there's a Hebrew expression. Here it is. It's not how it works. I'm not looking for a better day the second Tuesday in November. Excuse me. I'm voting, and I'm a very aware citizen, and I believe in the responsibility of every Christian citizen to vote. But do you think it's going to get better after November? Do you think things are going to really get better in this country? It's not the conditions that determine our faith. It's what the conditions of your life determine where you put your faith. The answer's down there in the hole asleep. It's Jesus. But no, they got to wait till the boat's full. How much, look at me, friend, if you're ankle deep, it's time to get to the Lord. Do you understand that? And stop letting the conditions of your life cause you to misplace your faith. Well, I just think these guys with the buckets are going to do better. And boy, if circumstances don't get you and conditions don't, how about considering what could be? They were now in jeopardy, the Bible says. First of all, I hate that stupid TV show. Because that guy that does announcing is a smart aleck. He acts like he knows the answers. He's got them written in front of him. One time I'd like to see him put him behind one of those booths and ask him questions without the answers. See how good, anyway. But the point is this. They start thinking about it. Boy, when they start thinking about it, oh, my soul. This thing's going down. We're going to sink. Jesus is going to drown. Now, wait a minute. That doesn't even sound right. They start to worry themselves, and their faith now is completely scattered all over that boat. I guarantee you they were having committee meetings and everything else trying to figure out what in the world they're going to do about this sinking ship and the storm issue. Nobody was happy that Al Gore got the Peace Prize then. You know the truth is, what has caused you to misplace your faith is you allow circumstances to affect your faith and where you put it. You allow conditions of your life to affect your faith and where you put it. You allow the considerations of your life to affect your faith and where you put it. And thereby your faith is scattered all over instead of back where it started when Jesus said, we're going to the other side of the lake. And they said, yes, sir. And they got in the boat and they took off. See, up to that point, everything was good. Just say, but yeah, preacher, see, the storm changed things. Storm didn't change anything. Jesus said, we will go to the other side. He had given them a certain assurance of what would take place. Now look at me. If Jesus says you're going to the other side, you're going to the other side. Hey, one of the storms they have to go into, they go alone and Jesus walks on the water to them. That was even a greater test of their faith. They messed that one up too. Friend, don't let, Pastor Johnson, that's easy for you to say, you don't know the circumstances of my life and you don't know mine. And you don't know the circumstances of the people sitting around you this morning. Or the conditions. Or what we consider when we look at the situation of life and think, man alive, how is this ever going to get straightened out? You got your faith in the wrong place. You look at me now. Look at me. You're looking right here. You're looking out at the storm. You're looking down at the water. You're thinking about what's going to happen when this thing sinks and we're out in the middle of the sea. But now notice something here. They didn't know where to find and replace the faith they had misplaced. Look at verse 24. Look what they did. And they came to him. Ha! There it is. Jesus is down inside the ship asleep. And they came to him and said, Master, Master, we perish. And Jesus said, well, let's pray about it. Let's all hold hands together, sing Kumbaya, and hope everything's going to turn out better. Maybe we'll have a debate about it. What do you think? Shall we debate the storm? Jesus steps out on the bow of the boat and says, peace, be still. Those waves laid down, the winds blew soft. See, that's good. They finally figured it out, friend. When you misplace your faith, Don't wait for the circumstances to improve. Don't wait for conditions to get better. And don't sit around and fret about it. You need to get to the Lord. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and thanksgiving with supplication. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. They went to Him. They went to Jesus. Don't you understand, friend, when your faith is misplaced, don't blame the people around you. Don't blame the conditions of your life. Don't blame the circumstances. All that proves is you've had your faith has now been misplaced in these things. Get right back to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord, what do I do about this thing here now? Could you help me, please? And Jesus didn't wait a moment, and He calmed the storm. And when it says in that verse again, look at it, verse 24, it says, and when He calmed the storm, and then He arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased. And there was calm. Doesn't just mean the storm calmed. Doesn't just mean the wind calmed. It means the disciples stood there and went, oh. They calmed down too. Because they knew where to go to get this faith back in the right place. They knew how to replace misplaced faith. They put it back on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, friend, listen to me this morning. I'm sorry for the failures of people in your life, and I'm sorry for the things in life that come your way that you did not want or ask for. But I do know this. The Lord Jesus Christ knows exactly what your storm is and exactly what your situation is. Would you be willing today to put your faith back where it's supposed to be? Back on Him. And what he said, we will go to the other side, gentlemen. We will get there then. Storm comes up, that doesn't change the destination. Just means there was trouble between here and the destination. Hey, everybody has storms, friend. We all go through them. But we either go through the storm or we go down with it. Your faith is in Christ, friend. He's a storm calmer. Jesus never missed a prediction on the weather because He could change it to whatever He suited. He'd get it right, get it straight, and you need to go back to Him. Now look at me. Some of you this morning, you misplaced your faith and you put it on somebody or something else other than the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to put it back where it belongs. You say, well, Pastor, there it is, and that's the happy ending, isn't it? Verse 25. Now look at it. And He said unto them, where is your faith? And they, being overjoyed with happiness, and rejoiced and lifted up their hands and worshiped the Holy God. What does it say, verse 25? And they being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For He commanded even the winds and water, and they obey Him. Wait a minute. They got their faith back in the right place, and they're starting the process to misplace it again. Instead of saying, do you see what He just did? With the Lord, we can do what we got to do here. No, the Bible says they're afraid. Why should you have fear in response to a hand of God in your life? They're creating the next circumstance and the next situation where they're going to say, can you believe that? Look, all you have to do is go to Matthew chapter 28. Jesus has risen from the dead. He's about to ascend back to heaven. They have all seen Him now. Resurrected Savior. Appeared to them in an upper room with all the doors closed. Disciples now. Not just casual crowd, disciple crowd. And in Matthew chapter 28, as the Lord gets ready to ascend back to heaven, and they would watch Him literally ascend back to heaven and be received by the angels back into glory, as they watched Him go up, Matthew 28 says this, and some doubted. You really think that's Him? I mean, we've seen Him 4 or 5 times now already. Appeared to us in the upper room that I remember we had a meal together. You think that's really Him going? Think those are angels? Every time I read that Matthew 28 thing, I think, what a knucklehead. What else does He have to do to convince these people? They still didn't get it. Look at me. You leave a place of misplaced faith. If you don't keep it where it belongs, you just create a situation where you're going to do it again. And again, circumstances will control you. And again, we'll be like chickens in a storm and running around and scared and fearful and frightening and worried about everything else. It's like, oh, no. No, settle it, Christian. Take misplaced faith and put it back upon the Lord Jesus Christ and what His Word tells you to do. Stay with it. Even when the storm blows, even when the ship fills, even when there's hours of worry and concern, stay with what Jesus tells you to do. The worst thing you can do is misplace your faith. This year, you're going to answer this question. The Lord's asking us today, where is your faith? Let's bow our heads for prayer, please.